nothing is too difficult for you. So God, I thank you that you're doing what nobody else can in the name of Jesus. Lord, I take authority over every hindrance that would try to come up in this service. Lord, I speak a complete peace. God, I thank you that every heart is opened up to receive what you'd have for them today. In Jesus' name, amen. The other day, Frank and I believe that it was last Sunday, we went to Mulan's. How many of you ever eaten at Mulan's? How many of you like Chinese food? Me too. Well, you know, there's two places for you to sit when you go out to eat. You're going to sit with the kids that are going to be screaming, or you're going to sit where there's peace. And it was just Frank and I. There were no other kids. So I was confused when they put us, Cece, in the area where there was nothing but screaming kids. And I started thinking about that, and I was thinking, why did they put us here? I mean, there was one lady with four kids. They all looked the same age. I was trying to figure that out. And they had all their silverware, and they were just banging on everything. It was just a complete racket. And I was like, I looked at Frank, and I said, Frank, did you by any chance pray for patience? He said, no. And I said, I am just trying to figure out why we got sat here. We don't even have any little kids with us today. So I'm just trying to figure this out. Now, I tell you that story to tell you this. Here's the thing. God hears your prayers. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You need to really pay attention to what you're praying because, see, God hears your prayers, and he knows in the manner that you pray them. And so your prayer life is very important. And when you ask God for things like patience, what he's going to give you is not a fable or a storybook. He's going to give you opportunity. So when we pray for things, you really need to be sure you want what you're praying for because, see, God loves you and he's going to try to give you the things that you ask for. And when he does that, it's many times not in the way that we wanted him to do that for us. We wanted him to play the violin and help us get more patient just by osmosis or something. But no, he's going to put you in a lot of circumstances where you're waiting every chance that you get in all the things. And so for the past, all last year and all this year, because I am determined to get this right, but it is a problem in the life of many believers, and that's why we're addressing it this morning. But I have began to pray, Lord, help me with my enemies. Help me with my enemies. And you know, sometimes you got enemies and you don't even know they're enemies. Sometimes people make you an enemy and you have no clue about it. But I want to speak to you this morning on your enemy because it's a very relevant topic in every single person's life, and you are the head and not the tail. And so because of that, you have to act the part. Because you're the head and not the tail, you have to act like that. And it won't do you any good to come in church and to sit if nothing changes in your life. There has to be a change. You have to leave and say, I'm going to live out the sermon. Because if not, you're not shaking my hand and going to heaven over that, okay? I don't have that kind of authority. Heaven is by salvation that's worked out on a daily basis, and you crucify your flesh to what the Word tells you to do and to be. And so go with me this morning to Psalms chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 5, and I'm ministering this morning on our enemies. Because I believe that God wants more than the pastor to get that right. Many times it's the area that keeps you bound up is when we don't handle our enemies good. It's a bad deal. Psalm chapter 23, verse 5. You, this is talking about God, you prepare a table before me. You prepare a table. The word prepare means to make ready. And so what that literally means is God is making your table ready. One of the things that God has ministered to me is point number one, and I have 6 points, and God's going to perform a miracle in this service because I'm going to get done with this message in 35 minutes. I'm not even sure how God's going to do that, but I'm going to go along with it. Point number one, show up to the table. show up to the table. See, the Word of God says, you've prepared a table before me. And what a lot of people want to do with their enemies is they don't want to go anywhere around them. Now, I used to do that, and I still do it to some extent. But Jeff, a few months ago, God enlightened me and he gave me an epiphany and he said, Kelly, how can you live out this verse when you won't even show up to the table? I'm the chick that wants to, if I see their car in Walmart parking lot, I am going around the loop and I'm going to go somewhere else until I feel like they have left. Now, why is that? Because it's very simple. I don't like to see my enemies. It's not rocket science. And you cannot sit there and act like you don't have people that you don't like. But let's have an honesty poll today. How many of you got somebody on this planet you don't like? Hey, guess what? That doesn't mean you're a bad person. That just means you have something to work on. Okay? You cannot like somebody, but you have to be very careful with that because, see, not liking them becomes into gossiping about them, being bitter at them, eventually hating them, being resentful towards them. See, we like to sit there and talk about all the things that make our little things okay, when really, none of it's okay. So, point number one, show up to the table. You were not designed to run from your enemies. You were not designed to run from your enemies. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to keep this very real because the realness is what makes the ministry for me. God never wanted me to be in this box, and so he's got a very unique setup here, and sometimes it makes me very uncomfortable because sometimes I'm like, I feel like a terrible person after I share on Sunday because I'm like, I think I was too honest with them. And now I feel like an awful person because now they know all my secrets. But God's assured me to keep going with that, so here we are, and it makes me uncomfortable. A few months ago, how many of you like to go to the coffee shop every once in a while? Some of you like to go every day, and I'm fine with that. But if I did that every day, I'd have a lot of problems that I won't mention. But I went into the coffee shop with my favorite in mind, and I ran into my enemy, one of them. And when I say enemies, I probably have like less than five. I don't have to use all my fingers, but I've got some, okay? And I ran into this person, and there she is. And she, of course, I'm alone, and she's with several of her friends. So when you come into contact with your enemy and they see you, here's probably what's going to happen. At some point while you're there, they're going to begin to talk about you, okay? And then I have a problem, and it's called being Italian. And so there's like an inner gangster that wants to come out and gangster people. Okay, so I go in the coffee shop. Here she is, immediate whispers. And I got up to the counter, and I was like, I can't stand her. See, if I can say that from the pulpit, I hope to God when you go home, get in your closet and just tell yourself, be real with yourself, because you know what? That's the first step. Amen. I got up to the counter, and in my head, I was like, I cannot stand her. Because she doesn't like me, and I have no idea why, and I've never done anything to her but be good to her. And that ruffles my feathers because we want people to like us. And here's the nugget of the day. Everybody ain't going to like you. And a lot of times they don't like you and they don't even know why they don't like you. Okay? Let that sink in. There's people, they don't like you. And not only do they not like you, but they don't got a clue why they don't like you. And guess what? You got to roll with that. And you should. And God's going to help you, and he's going to give you some anointing to be able to do that because you still got to be who you're supposed to be despite the heifers that want to whisper, okay? Amen. So I get up to the counter, and I'm like, usually I would dodge this situation, but I had prayed, God, help me do better with my enemies. And guess what, Gary? He got me in a situation where I couldn't turn around and walk out. So I'm standing at the counter, and God says, Kelly, you're going to start something, and here's what it's going to be. You're going to start practicing. And practice is going to make some perfection in your life, because you've asked me to get this straightened out in your life, and me and you, we're going to see to it that you do. Now I want you to stop at her table with her and all her whispering friends, and I want you to greet her and say some nice things. And I was thinking, no, I'm not that saved. I mean, I don't know. Okay, the problem with me is that when I hear God, I'm not the Christian that's sitting there asking God if that was really him and show me a sign and no. When I hear him, I know I hear him. And then if I don't listen, I feel bad about that. I feel convicted. And when you feel that way, you need to understand that that is the Holy Spirit, and he is moving and working in your life to help you to do better in the areas where maybe you're not very good at. So I get my coffee, and I turn around, and I put on my best pastor smile. Hello. How are you doing today? God, are you happy yet? No. Okay, we're going to keep rolling. Then I begin to talk to all of her friends that's giving me the worst looks because of whatever it is she told them. And I said, I am so glad that you're doing well. May God bless you. And I walked out of there. And that was the beginning of something different in my life, because the truth is I've never been able to be good with my enemies. Can you sit there and look at your life and tell yourself what you've never been good at? Because if not, that's where you need to start. Because see, sometimes the believer is stuck, and it ain't the devil's fault. It's not your mama's fault. It's nobody's fault but your own, because you're stubborn. And I felt like I could ran a marathon that day. I was invigorated. I was like, oh my gosh. Speaking to my enemy just made me feel so much better. And then God has done that to me several times. So my point is to you, show up to the table. God prepares a table before you. Before you. He's got a table, and that table is your life, and he's prepared it for you since the beginning of time. Before you were born, he knew that you would be here, and he began preparing that table, and he began to fill your table up with all of those things. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to look at verse 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. He goes with you. So if God is going with you, he's going up there with you to the table where your enemy's sitting. He's going on the job where you're not being treated right. He's going with you in the sticky situations where you know that people don't like you. He's going with you in the situations where you know you don't like some of those people. See, God's going with you, and because he's going with you, you don't need to be terrified. You don't need to live your life in fear or dread or dodging your enemy. When God saved you, he didn't make you a wimpy little girl, okay? He saved you, and he gave you favor, and he gave you strength, and it wasn't a natural favor. It wasn't a natural strength. It was a supernatural ability to live out his word and then to be blessed because you lived it out. So go to the table. Don't be afraid and don't walk in dread when you get there. Go back with me to Psalms chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 5 again. Frank, sweetheart, will you get this table right here? And Brother Jeff, will you get those two folding chairs right there? And actually, let's put it over here because I feel not so closed in right here. You guys have got a very quirky person. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, you've really got a very big sense of humor. And Jeff, here's what we're going to do. Put one right here and one right there, and I want you and Frank to sit there. Okay. So we just read in Psalms chapter 23. Now, there's no talking at the table, We're going to go back to elementary school. And God prepares a table before you. Now, just for the sake of calling whoever, y'all are enemies. Let's say God's dealing with Frank on this verse. And you need to see yourself in this, okay? So Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. Now, believer, I've just read you. In the presence of my enemies. And here is a deeper meaning of this verse. God never intended you for your enemies and you not to cross paths. Because biblically, he will have you in each other's presence at times or at seasons in your life. And if you really want the blessing of God, you're going to figure out how to situate yourself and make yourself come up under the authority of what God tells you is right. The problem with doing that is there's always going to be a voice in your head that's telling you how wrong they were. And you can't afford to listen to that because it's the problem you've had probably your entire life, is it's everybody else's fault. In the presence of my enemy. Point number two. We just read point number one. Show up to the table. That's the first step. Show up to the table. Don't dodge your enemy. You know why we dodge them? Because being around them makes us feel uncomfortable. Amen. We dodge them because being around them makes us uncomfortable, and it makes us relive certain things that they did that were painful, that were hurtful, that were betraying. Okay? Point number two, you were meant to be around your enemies to a degree. Or this verse would not be in the Bible. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. The place you want to get in your life with your enemy is very simple. It's exactly, literally, what we have in this situation. Can you sit at a table with your enemy and put down every little negative, condescending thing that you would say? Could you, in this moment in your life, could you sit across from them? Could you do it? Because if not, I am pointing out things not to make you feel bad about your life, but to help you to grow. And you're talking to somebody who will openly admit, this has been an area of problems in my own life. But see, God wants us to change this year. He wants us to get better at doing this. Okay? So, point number two, you were meant to be around your enemies to a degree, or the verse wouldn't be present. At times, God will have your enemies sit at your table. And I'm going to explain something. Your table is a table of blessing, overflow, provision. Why? Because, see, the Word of God says that He prepared it for you. How many of you know that God don't make no junk? So if you will agree to sit at your table that God prepared for you, He is going to ordain the enemy to also sit there at times. And here's the deal. You got to sit there and put your big girl pants on or your big boy pants on, and you got to be able to do that because that is actual true Christianity. It's easy to call each other Christians on Sunday and then live like the devil every other day of the week. This is the hard stuff in life right here. Because by the time you get to the table and your enemy's sitting there, all sort of things are going through your head. And here's the deal. You got to tell your head that you're not going there with them no more, and you're going to allow God to do a work. The problem with God doing a work and sometimes why He can't do a work is because you like the filth that goes on in your head too much about your enemy. This is some good preaching. I mean, I can preach this one because I have lived it, okay? Practice this. Practice this. Practice it. If Do you see your enemy's car at Sonic? Pull into the stall right by them. See if you can tolerate that. Because some of you, it breaks you out in hives just to be at the same place. We're not even talking about getting to the same table. We're just talking in the same environment. I feel you. I know it. Understand this also. We make enemies too quickly. We make enemies too quickly. I have seen more stupidity in the last several months over politics than what should ever be. People have lost friends over that, and it is dumb, and we should not do that. And it's not godly. We make enemies too quickly out of people. Just here's the problem with us, Tony. Here's what we do. If somebody doesn't agree with our point of view, we make an enemy out of them. Let me just put a golden nugget out there for you today. See, y'all are getting one of the best messages of the year. Here it is on a silver platter. Everybody don't have to agree with you.
Amen.
And guess what? You don't have to agree with everybody. But that doesn't mean it's okay to be a jerk.
That's right. Amen.
Think about your mind, and when you know somebody don't agree with you, how many of you, we're going to take another honesty poll. You've not liked somebody. You liked them, but then you found out something that y'all didn't agree on, and you started not liking them just because they didn't agree with how you agreed. I don't think everybody's being honest up in here. Okay. At least we know. Don't make enemies unnecessarily. Here's an aspect of the table that I would say is the hardest part about being at the table. Is this right here. When you start talking about God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, here's the painful thing, Jeff. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, the enemy sitting across the table, at some point or another, there was a deep love there. There was a deep friendship. There was a deep loyalty. There was a deep care for that person. And that is what keeps us very torn up on the inside. And see, God wants to get you at the same table for many, many reasons. But, you know, God doesn't want you sitting there saying, oh, I got this enemy. That He would like us to not have any enemies.
Amen.
Is that practical?
No.
I don't know. But what it is something to work on. Something to work on. Keep in mind, at the Last Supper, here Judas sat on the left of Jesus, planning his betrayal. I'm not asking you to do something that's not biblical. Because what I'm asking you to do is get at that table and be all right with your enemy sitting there and let God do something that you never thought He could do. How do I know that's possible? Because Jesus Christ Himself did that. One of the people that was supposed to be the closest to Him sat next to Him, loved Him, betrayed Him with a kiss, took 30 pieces of silver, which really didn't amount to nothing, and betrayed Him. But before all of that happened, Jesus knew that, and He still sat down and He was fine with that. Folks, stop nursing your wounds and opening them up and reliving them by keeping on talking about it and keeping on being bitter about it. Because see, the thing is you're going to keep resuscitating that hurt every single time you bring it up. And God wants to work on this with you because, see, this is keeping you back in elementary school. He wants you to go to middle school and then go to the high school, college, okay? You can't stay stuck in the ABCs of Christianity.
Amen.
God expects growth. We have an obligation to grow, and that's hard to do because there's an amount of satisfaction sometimes in hating somebody's guts. I'm probably the only pastor in Logan County that'll say something like that. Have any of y'all ever been satisfied just by thinking, I just can't stand that person, and there's just something about it that's like, yep, I am justified in that. They're awful. And it's okay because God knows they're awful. It's okay for me not to like them. Here's another golden nugget. You guys are getting lots of nuggets today. God loves your enemy. And not only does he love them, you may have to let your girdle out for this one. He loves them just as much as he loves you. And he cares about both of you. How many of you have ever had grown children and they didn't get along and you were the parent and it put you in a weird spot? Okay. Yep, my dad's hands probably should be up, okay, multiple times. He's like, I just want to be able to sit at Thanksgiving dinner with y'all. Okay, you guys are drama. Okay. Judas still sat at that table, and Jesus let him. Jesus let him do it. Betrayals in this life are going to happen. Hurts are going to happen. Enemies are going to accrue. Will you allow God to work in this area of your life? Can he do a work? Can he do a work? Psalm chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me. My point number one, show up to the table. In the presence of my enemies. Point number two, you are meant to be around your enemies to a degree at certain seasons in your life. You anoint my head with oil. Point number three, you are anointed by God. And God has given you an amount of anointing to be able to handle your enemy. So stop rehearsing what you're saying to them that's not nice and start practicing who you claim to really be. The Word of God says, Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then it says, God, you anoint my head with oil. God's anointed you. He's anointed you to not lose your stuff. Okay? Do we lose it sometimes? Yes, we do. Why? I think it's because we've rehearsed a lot of things that we shouldn't. And it finally got out. That doesn't make the Word of God not true. He says in his Word, you anoint my head. You anoint my head. It didn't say the angels did it, or the peon did it, or my associates. God did it. God did it. God anointed your head. Look here, both of you. In all of this stuff, what it really is most of the time is just a deep hurt. A deep hurt. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody said something. Somebody made you look bad. Somebody said something about you that wasn't true. You've worked hard and all they've done is tried to undo what you've done that was good. Well, guess what? They don't get to do that. That's just the devil making you think that. Ain't nobody undoing what God did in your life. You anoint my head with oil. If you'll go to the table, if you'll sit in the presence of your enemy, when you're there, see, there was a reckoning that had to take place at that coffee house counter. And here's what it was, Gail, and I didn't like it. But here's the deal. I'm anointed to do that stuff. Amen. And come hell or high water, ain't no heifer getting me knocked up where I can't operate and have the Holy Spirit moving and working up in my life. Amen. Because, see, every time that you dodge, you're not making any progress. You've gone backwards. I don't like going backwards. You anoint my head with oil. Think of all the things that God has done at this table. You anoint my head with oil. And then he starts talking about your cup. And my cup, see, there's a song that we sing. I'm a terrible singer. Fill my cup, Lord. Somebody else that sings needs to sing this. Casey, come up here and hurry it up because we got 10 minutes. I say hurry and she takes longer. We're on the purple microphone. All right, start with the fill my cup.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Now stop right there. Here is the problem in the type of world that we're living in right now. Did y'all feel that the anointing just walked up into this place? We are so twisted up inside over our enemies, and that has done something to us on the inside, and it hasn't been good. You have a cup. Every one of us does. You have got to change how you're looking at that cup, because there's people, and you're always seeing it not full. But see, the Word of God says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. If you'll start seeing your cup is overflowing, the cup's going to overflow. One more time.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven.
Now stop right there, sister. When you get your enemy at your table, this is all biblical. There's your cup, and he begins to make it overflow. It has taken me like a year and a half to wrap my stubborn self around this point. God wants to make your cup overflow. The overflow is to bless people. And I'm telling you this, one of the people or peoples that you're supposed to be a blessing to is your enemy.
Amen.
Is all of the goodness that you got just for your four and no more and all the people that you like? Because see, even sinners do that.
Amen.
If you're only good to people that are good to you, if you're only good to people you don't like or that you like. But see, you fill my cup and it overflows. Why can't you and your enemies' cup both overflow? Could you be good with that? Would that be okay in your life? Or do you just want them to suffer because they've made you suffer? I'm asking you today, and in fact, I'm not asking you. I feel like God is asking you. Is it okay if your enemy has a full cup? See, there's something in the middle of it, and it's called that pain that makes us want them to suffer because they've made us suffer, and we don't want nothing good for them, and that is exactly what keeps us held up. It's high time, and I am preaching to myself first. I've had to really come to the reckoning of God bless my enemy, and then it just stopped right there. Used to, I would say, God bless my enemy, but, I mean, if they got to suffer a little bit, it's okay. Can your enemies, can their cup overflow? Let me just explain something to you. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Sometimes it feels like they got away with it. They didn't. Sometimes your enemy's cup is going to be bone dry because of what they did to you. I'm going to read you a verse, and I'm going to tell you how to be in that moment, because this is the part that you've got to get very right. My point number three, you're anointed. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. A lot of times your enemies are just broken people and they want to break everything in sight, including you. To proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for his day of splendor. You're anointed for a purpose. See, he sent you to do things, to bind up the brokenhearted. Everything that these verses, you are sent for a purpose. Show up to your table, work his purpose. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17.
Hallelujah.
This is the part that we have to get right. There are times, because see, there's a standard, and God's not going to let somebody just continually mess with you. But they're able to mess with you more when you ain't acting right. Sometimes your enemy's cup is bone dry because of what they done. And we got to decide how we're going to live when we see our enemies suffer. Here's the best point that I can bring out. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17. Do not gloat or be happy when your enemy falls. I know there is a warm, tingly feeling inside of you when you see something bad happen to them. But what I'm going to tell you is it's not biblical. It's not. I have trouble with that also. When people that have hurt me have done something, there's a part of me that wants to be happy that they're suffering. But the older and more mature that I get in the Lord, I understand that that is not biblical. We should not be happy when we see them fall. And in fact, what we should actually do a lot of the time is go and help their little sorry rear ends up. Because at that point, that proves to them whose kid that you really are. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. God wants you to rejoice, but not when your enemy sit there and stumble. Point number five, it's not biblical to be happy when your enemy falls. I'm going to wrap this up with this story. Two stories. If you're mad, we're going to get out of here at 12:03. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I think that praying at the beginning of the service was very important. Several months ago, I got word and somebody said, you know, your enemy's kid is not doing very well. They just life-flighted them. And I was sitting there, and I wasn't happy about that. And God spoke to me, and he said, Kelly, you get to go home to your home where there's peace and tranquility, and you get to walk in that door with your babies perfectly whole. Kelly, right now what I need you to do is pray for your enemy's child. Another thing, this happened just Friday. I don't think there's anything that creates an enemy quicker than when somebody messes with your kids. That's like instant enemy, okay? And there was a lady. Can I just keep this extremely real? Okay, I'm going to keep this very real. There's, as all of you know, a few years back, I went through a divorce, and it was a very painful thing. And in the middle of that divorce, what I really wanted was a little bit of privacy. My heart was broken. My kid's heart was broken. Everything in life, everything in my life was just a broken, absolute mess. And the devil would want me to not talk about that because I'm already a female pastor, and then I throw a divorce in there, and we're really breaking all the rules at that point. But here we are. And there was a lady in the town, and I had went to deliver a Monday night meal to an elderly person, and this lady had done the cleaning for that person. And when I walked through the door, this elderly person confronted me about that, and they began to tell me all the gossip that this person had done. And Sandra, I had literally, everything was raw. Everything was just raw in that moment. Every part of me was hurting and raw, and I had had enough. And Joe, I just snapped. You ever watch that show? Snapped. I didn't snap real drastic, but I did have a little snap. And I called her up, and I chewed her butt out. And I had to take one of my little boys to counseling because he was so brokenhearted. See, I'm talking about real life here. You get you a pastor, and they're not going to sugarcoat stuff to you, and they're going to tell you how it is. That pastor loves you enough to stop caring about what they look like and minister to the people, okay? It's not easy to get up here and be this vulnerable and this real because some of it's embarrassing. But I got my little son, and we got on the couch. And his counselor asked him, "Why have you been fighting in school?" And he started crying, the kids of mine that never cries. And he named these two kids out, and they were her kids. And in that instant, I was really done at that moment. And I called her up again. Because I thought, you done that to me. And now you've done it to my son, and now he's having trouble at school because your little boys are making fun of him about things he can't do, undo or help. Well, I thought I had let that go, Michelle. Well, I get up into the El Perion on Friday, and there she is with those two little kids. And I have really grown because I sat there in that chair and I started hearing her starting her stuff up again, whispering. And I thought, God, please help me to have had some growth in my life in the last 4 years because I don't want to have a strike three with her. And God said, Kelly, this is an opportunity ordained by me. Take the opportunity. And I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Kelly, by the gossip, her meal, by her sons, their meal, speak a blessing over them. Do it in private. She don't even need to know that you did it. There's something about us where we want our enemies to know we're trying to be at peace with them. You know what? Do that with your actions. Because sometimes when we're saying something to them, it's not sincere. We're just going through the motions because we think that's what's wanted of us. What's wanted of us is a heart change. God wants us to change our heart. And I got in that car. I told the guy, I said, I want to buy her meal. Well, she's got to-go stuff. I don't care. I don't care if she's buying the whole town food at this point. But God, I'm doing this. Buying that. I said, I don't want you to ever tell her who did it. And when I walked past where she sat, I said, Lord, she is now your problem. Because this one, God, I just removed myself. And God, I was a part of the problem too. And I can admit that. God, I've done had her closest to the table I can get her. Lord, I forgive her. And I forgive her kids. And God, now I'm asking you to forgive me for hating her guts. And God, now you can do a work. See, sometimes God can't work because we're straight up in the way. And I got in that car, And I said, Carson Paul, God just made that situation right. Do not hold any more unforgiveness with those boys, because, see, God can do a work now. I said, we are walking out of there blessed, more blessed than we've ever been, because turning the other cheek is priceless. Doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you is priceless. You can't put a price on that, because that's called being a Christian. Y'all stand to your feet. I want you to live this sermon out, because, see, this was an ordained message. God wanted you to hear this. We are having church tonight at 5:30. We hope that you will come and listen. Father, we thank you right now for the word. God, I ask that that word would come back, God, in memories for us for this coming week. Lord, when we want to get out of line, when we want to feel a certain way, Lord, our feelings aren't facts. God, help us to get those feelings in check. Lord, let us live out the sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. I love y'all. We'll see you tonight at 5:30. Everybody has a box of food and some ice cream.